like you please to turn with me to one or two passages in the Bible in the New Testament. I would like you first to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, page 1386 in my Bible, 1386. And I just want to read one verse, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. For as in the Adam all die, thus also in the Christ all shall be made alive. And then in Romans 3, page 1351. Romans 3, page 1351. And at the end of verse 22. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And I think finally, in Hebrews 1, page 1447, Hebrews 1, verse 9, 1447, Hebrews 1 and verse 9, referring to the Lord Jesus, thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Now, I would like to try and speak to you about God's view of things. I want to speak about God's view of the world, God's view of you, and God's view of Christ. It's important for every one of us, however young we are, or however old we are, to see things as God sees them. You know, we often compare ourselves to other people. I might think I'm better than him, or I know more than her, and I'm older than him, or younger than her, I'm better than, or worse than. We compare ourselves to other people. You find this at school. So-and-so is cleverer than me, or I'm cleverer than her. We always like to compare ourselves to other people. And I think you will find that if you do this, you'll always think that you're a bit better than the next person. I would like tonight to give you God's view of yourself. God's view of the world is very simple. He says, all have sinned. The whole of this world, in another place in the Bible, it says the whole world lies in the wicked one. Around us there are people who don't know God. They are under the influence of the enemy of our souls, of Satan. The whole world lies in the wicked one. And I read firstly that all, as in the Adam all die, so in the Christ all are made to live. And my dear friend, you're either in one condition or the other. If you're in Adam, that is to say, Adam was the first man that sinned. He disobeyed God and he lost paradise. He was kicked out of his job and he was kicked out of a wonderful garden. God put him out because God cannot have sin in his presence. And you and I as sinners cannot enter the presence of God. And death is the wages of sin. You know, if you go to work, whatever it is you do, you get some money, some wages for what you do. And if you sin, you get wages for that too. And the wages of sin is death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. Now, I don't want to be to frighten anybody, but I must be realistic. I want to bring home to you how God sees things, how God sees you, but I want to tell you God's remedy, God's answer to the whole matter. As in the Adam all die, every person in this room tonight, if we're left here, will have to die. We are as in Adam, but you don't have to remain in Adam. The good thing is that you can come to Jesus and become in Christ. It's an absolute expression. Every one of us in this room, we're either in Adam or we're in Christ. The saved are in Christ and the lost are in Adam. I'd hope there's no one in this room that is lost, because it's a terrible thing. You may have got lost. You may have been out. I had a little boy once and he got lost and he got very upset. And I can remember as a little boy getting lost. I got lost once in Kew Gardens. Now, you might think that's a jolly nice place to get lost in. All these lovely trees and plants and things. But I got lost and I was really upset. I got a good walloping from my mother for doing it. But that's by the way. But you know, it's a fearful thing to realise you're lost. To realise that you don't know where you are, you don't know where you're going, and you don't know what's going to happen to you. That's what happens when people realise they're lost. They very badly want to be found. And you know, God doesn't want you to be lost. He wants you to know the peace and joy and happiness that comes from believing in Jesus. He wants you to be found. He wants you to become in Christ. All in Christ, all are made to live. He wants you to know what it is to enjoy eternal life. That is what God wants. That's how he views you. He views you as needing a saviour. And there's a lovely verse in the Bible, I'm going to speak about it in a moment, that tells you of God's heart of love. For God so loved the world. That is the world that lies in the wicked one. The world of lost, ruined men and women and children. God loves that world. God loves you. And he's proved his love by sending Jesus here into this world to die for your sins. And that is the greatest evidence I can present to you tonight of the love of God. There is no greater expression of the love of God than that Jesus came here into this very world in which we live today to die for our sins. He didn't just come here to demonstrate love and perfection, which he did. The life of Jesus on earth was perfect. He was sin apart. He never disobeyed. He wasn't a sinner like I am or you are. The Lord Jesus ever did everything that pleased his God and Father. And there's not one of us in this room can dare say that we've always done everything to please our parents. But the Lord Jesus came here to demonstrate perfection. Perfection was seen in manhood. The Lord Jesus was perfect. He never sinned. He never disobeyed. He never said wrong things. He never did wrong things. Everything about him was perfect. And that blessed man who was sin apart, who knew not sin, who was different from all other men, died on Calvary's cross for my sins. Think of that. Think of the love of God expressed in the death of Jesus. There can be no greater love in the universe than this. It surpasses any expression of human love that you can possibly have. You may know your parents love you. You may know that your friends love you. But there's nothing that can surpass the love of God. Because it's a love that has given its all for you. God has so loved the world that he's given his son to die for our sins. I think that's the most wonderful thing I can tell you about. I would like you to see things as God sees them. I would like you to see the world as God sees it. The world is lost. The world is going to its doom. The present evil age, the apostle writes about. We're living in a very bad world. I don't think I need to tell you that. I think however young you are, you must realise that things in this world are not right. Things are done that are not right. The justice system doesn't pick everything up right. Men don't rule and order things rightly because we're all sinners. That's why sin, the principle of disobedience, has come into this world and it's infected every one of us. Every child is born a sinner. It may not have had an opportunity to commit sins, but as you get bigger, you get more opportunities to do wrong things. that nature is in you, it's in me. But God has a remedy for sin. I didn't want to come here and merely tell you how you are as God sees you, but I wanted you to see for yourself how God views you. He views the world as lying in the power of the enemy of our souls, the wicked one, Satan. But he has another world to introduce you into. He has his world where Jesus lives. You see, Jesus not only has been here, he lived here. He was born here. He lived in Palestine. He went around doing good. If you read the four Gospels, you will read some of the wonderful things that Jesus said and did. How he healed persons who were sick. He raised the dead. He gave blind their sight. He did all of those things. And he was perfect and holy. And men hated him. Why did they hate Jesus? Why should people hate someone who's good? It's because their hearts were evil. My heart is no better. If God hadn't touched my heart, I'd be a hater of Jesus. God has touched my heart. Isn't it wonderful? God in his love has touched my heart. He's given me to see his love. God wants you to know his love. He wants you to be for him. He wants you to see, first of all, how he sees you as lost in sin. But then he wants to present to you a wonderful saviour for sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we have to speak to. That's our only hope. There's no hope for this world. This world is passing to its doom. But there's hope for you. There's hope for me. Because Jesus has been here. He's borne my sins. He's taken all my bad things, all the wicked things I've done in my life on himself. And he suffered and died. He's borne the judgment of God against sin in his own body on Calvary's cross. Those 3 hours of darkness on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on account of sin. And he did it to perfection. Everything has been done. He could say from the cross, it is finished. The Lord Jesus has finished completely. He's dealt with the judgment of God against sin. He's finished that work. And now there's nothing but peace for you and for me. God commends his love to us. Think of that. God so loved the world he sent his son. But more than that, he commends that love. He says, I want you to know my love. How can you and I have our hearts filled with his love? Is it by thinking nice thoughts? Is it by going to Sunday school? Is it by coming here of a Sunday night? And I'm very, very pleased to see everybody here. But by just coming isn't exactly how you get it. I would like you to meet the Saviour for yourself. It's no good. Well, it's a wonderful privilege for me to tell you about Jesus. But I would like above all for you to meet him, for you to know him, for you to know what it is to have your sins forgiven, for you to know what it is to put your faith and trust in a Saviour who suffered and died on account of your sins. The Lord Jesus, where is he today? Where is Jesus today? Yes?
In heaven.
That's right. Absolutely right, son. He's in heaven. He's alive. He's risen. He's glorified. He's in heaven. Now, that's the person I want to tell you about. He came here. He lived here 33 and a third years. He suffered and he died here. But he's alive again. Isn't it wonderful? The resurrection, we say, of Jesus. And he's gone into heaven. And he is there as a prince and a saviour. You know what the name Jesus means? Jehovah the Saviour. He shall save his people. What from? The Romans? No, from their sins. The Lord didn't come here to overthrow the order in the world. He came here to bring life, to save you from your sins, to forgive you your sins. Do you not know, said the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, and your sins may be forgiven tonight. every single one of them, past, present, and even future, they were all dealt with judicially at the cross. But you can know that God has love in his heart for you, nothing but love. And you can know peace towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other peace you'll ever get in this world that will exceed, that will even come anywhere near the peace that God offers. Because it's a peace that comes from heaven. Jesus is in heaven, and peace comes from him where he is. When he came in resurrection, after he'd risen from the dead, he came amongst his followers, and what was the first words he said? Peace be to you. And the Lord Jesus wants you to know peace. He doesn't want you to be any more troubled about your sins. You know, it's a good thing if you start off being troubled by your sins. I'm very, very thankful if there's anybody here in this room that's troubled by their sins, because it's an evidence that God's working in your heart. And it's an evidence that God will bring you to repentance and to a knowledge of forgiveness of your sins. Because in order to enjoy peace towards God, we not only have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and is in heaven, but we have to repent. Now, what does repentance mean? Some people regret things. We all do, I'm sure. But repentance isn't exactly regret. Repentance is telling God that you're a sinner, he knows at any rate, and asking him to forgive you. Sometimes we read about the two sons in Luke 15, the younger son who ran away and led a terrible life, but one day he came to himself. And if you're troubled about your sins, that's a very good sign, because it means you're coming to yourself. So many people come in, hear about Jesus, and forget, go away and forget. It was a nice time, yes, it was nice and warm, we had a lovely time, and we had some nice cakes at the end of it. But that's not the point. The point is that you should come to the knowledge of Jesus as Saviour and Lord and repent of your sins. The woman in John 4, the Lord has shown me this week that the pattern of how the Lord dealt with the woman in John 4 is a very good one. Because he didn't first of all tell her she was a sinner, and maybe I've been a bit guilty of that. He first of all told her he got something better for her. And I think that's very important to know, that God has got something better for you. It's very fine to be troubled about your sins, and very necessary to be convicted about them. But God has something better. He wants to forgive you those sins so that you can be at peace and happiness with him. He wants to enjoy a relationship with you. Not just to you to know your sins are forgiven and you come to church next week and so on. He wants to have an ongoing relationship with you. He wants you for his son, and he wants to be your father. That's what God, how God views this. And I can show you that from scripture too. But I want to tell you about the wonderful God we have. A God of love. He is love. And he's proved it by sending his son to die for our sins. God has proved his love. It's not just a theory, it's proof. If God hadn't loved you, he'd never have sent his son into this world to die for you. Why should he? Why should God send his son into this world? Because of his love. God wanted to secure you for himself. He wants you to be his. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to love him. He wants you to follow Jesus in your life here below. You know, the gospel is a very wonderful thing. Gospel really means good news. There's no other good news in this world. You sometimes hear some good news, but mostly all you hear and see is bad news. And if you think about it, the papers, the television, it's full of bad news. But God has good news for you. And that good news, that message, hasn't changed. For 2,000 years nearly, or more, God has been appealing to men and women and children to put their faith and trust in Jesus. And it's so tonight. But I can't guarantee next week. We're here tonight, Thank God, the gospel message of forgiveness of sins is going out to you. You can hear it tonight. We might not be here next week. We might be in heaven. Jesus is in heaven, and he's coming soon to take us to heaven, to be with him where he is. I can show you plenty of scriptures to prove it, but I just want to tell you that by way of warning. Because you will not always be able to come to Sandon Road and hear the gospel. There will be one week when that door will be closed, the lights will be off, and we'll all be gone. It's as real as that. So tonight is an opportunity for you to put your faith, your trust in Jesus, to obey God's good news. It requires obedience. It's not just sitting and thinking, oh, it's a great idea and I might do it next week. It's for now. God is asking you now to believe his son. Believe that he's died for you. Believe that God loves you and that he wants you to trust Jesus. Gospel is very simple. I had it very much on my heart this weekend to speak about how God views things, how God views the world, how God views you, and how God views Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus is the only one and only, the only begotten Son of God. And he has full delight in his Son. You know, if you've got children, sons or daughters, you think a lot of them. They're yours. And when they do what's right and pleasing to you, you're very pleased about it. Think of the Lord Jesus, who came here into a world of darkness, a world of sinners, and ever did everything pleasing to God. How he could say at the baptism of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I have found my delight." Never before could it be said of any man on earth that God had found his full delight in them. There have been many men of God in this city, but none were ever called beloved son in whom I found my delight. God couldn't, but he's done it on Jesus because of who he is. Jesus is perfect and holy, and Jesus is God. Many people believe Jesus was a prophet. Jesus was, some even say, a son of God. But we believe, and the Bible tells us, that he is the only begotten Son of God, the one and only Son. And that's what everything we believe, that's who everything we believe centers around. We're not preaching religion to you. We're preaching that you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus and follow him. Follow a man. Follow a glorious man who is in heaven. We're on earth, he's in heaven. And he gives you his Holy Spirit. You know, everyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus receives his Spirit because they obey God. And you will have a divine person dwelling in you and with you, who will help you. You come across problems. We all have problems. Some in this room have very great problems. I don't know your problems, God does, and he's able to help you through in the power of the Holy Spirit. May you know what it is to have the power, the help from God. So that is the gospel message, the good news, wonderful good news. There's nothing better I can tell you about. Wouldn't be much good by telling you that you can get on well in this world and earn a lot of money. What good would that be? It might help you for a time, but it'll help be no good at all for eternity. What happens after death? It's said, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. Well, what about that? God has a wonderful message of love and grace for every one of us. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that all may believe in him. Whosoever believes in him may not perish, but have life eternal. Do you know what it is to put your faith and trust in Jesus? I do. He's never let me down. I've let him down many, many times. But he's never let me down. He is a glorious man in heaven. And he is able to forgive you your sins because he's paid the price for it. Because he went to Calvary's cross, shed his precious blood, he has a righteous, a right basis to forgive you your sins. There's no other way of peace and joy and happiness that I know on earth. You may have a bit of joy, you may have a bit of peace, you may have a bit of happiness now and again, but there's no lasting joy and peace and happiness in the seed. Things of earth change, relationships change, people die, and so on. People go away, your friends move away, and things change. With God, nothing changes. He is the same. The Lord Jesus, it said, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. His heart of love, the heart of love of God, has not changed. Despite 2,000 years have gone by since Jesus died. And people now, there's still people around that don't want to know about God or Jesus. But God's heart of love has not changed. And he's still appealing to you to turn to him, to put your faith and trust in Jesus. I trust you'll do so tonight, because it may be the last opportunity you ever have. I can't guarantee another Sunday here. I can't guarantee that anyone here will be in this room next week. But I do know that now is a wonderful time for you to put your faith and trust in Jesus. May you do so, for his name's sake.
Amen.